following audio file came from newwineonline.com. Here's Pastor Chris Simpson.
Okay, turn if you would to Job 11. We're just going to stay in Job 11 today. If y'all looking for a job, it's right before Psalms. Amen? Job 11. There's some of the most fascinating passages I've ever found in we're going to look at tonight. I discovered these, gosh, where are we at? The late aughts? Probably 20 years ago. And I was amazed at this set of passages and how they're so insightful and, let's say, clearly reveal principles that we need just to live our Christian life. And so the teaching tonight is entitled, Flooding Your Soul with Sunshine. Flooding Your Soul with Sunshine. How many of y'all honestly feel like there's some shadows in your soul? Come on. In your mind. And what is the soul? It's the mind. It's the emotions. It's the will. And sometimes we've got shadows. We've got places of darkness. You know, places of hiddenness. I want to talk tonight about flooding your soul with sunshine. God wants us to live with sunshine from within. I remember seeing a commercial years ago when I was a kid about maybe it was Alka-Seltzer, I don't know what crazy, but somebody swallowed this and it showed that their insides became sunshine. It's like, you know, they just turned like light inside. And unfortunately, many of us, we think we're walking in the light, but inside there's darkness. Inside there's shadows and hidden things and things dwell in darkness. He that does truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, but he that hates the truth does not come to the light, for his works are hidden in the darkness, and that's where the powers of darkness operate. The powers of darkness operate in the darkness. And so the best way to be free from misery and torment and agony and all these types of anguish and mentally and emotionally, frankly, guys, is not so much to go in there and try to pull the darkness out, it's to turn on the light. Isn't that true that if you walk in a room and it's dark, what do you do to get rid of the darkness? Do you get a broom, a dark broom, and sweep it out? You flip the light on. By flipping the light on, darkness flees. So it is the way to be delivered of dark spirits of darkness and powers of darkness and areas of darkness and anguish inside our soul is to get light in there. You know, the spirit of man is a candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. One thing the spirit wants to do is be allowed. There's even a scripture in Zephaniah, interestingly enough, that talks about, I will search them with a candle as I go into the chambers of, and God wants to go down in the depths of us and illuminate the areas that are dark where there's hidden things. So let's look at this. Job 11 verse 70. He brings out, and I'm going to kind of throw out some other translations to make it a little clearer. I read, of course, King James, Job 11:7. Can you by searching find out God, or can you find out the Almighty into perfection? The NIV reads, how can you fathom the mysteries of God? The Living Bible reads, how can one know the purposes in the mind of God? So it proffers a question here. How is it possible to know the infinite God? How is it possible to fathom the mind? How, as Paul says in Romans 11, how unsearchable are his ways past finding out. Verse 8, he goes on to say, it is high as heaven. What can you do? Deeper than hell. What can you know? It's interesting what he's saying here. To understand, to grasp God, it's higher than the highest, deeper than the deepest. Frankly, God is on the outside of all highness and deepness. In fact, the next verse, he goes the other dimension. The measure thereof is longer than the earth and broader than the sea. So he's talking height, depth, and breadth and length. He's saying not only is God the unfathomable riches and to embrace and to find the knowledge of God is so it's beyond knowing, it's beyond the heights. Psalm 113, there's a scripture that actually says God bows down, bends over to look into heaven. You know, God is separate from his universe. That as farthest reaches of the universe, God is beyond that. So in the highest heights, the deepest depths, the incredible widths longer than the earth itself, broader than the vast endless seas. How can one know? The question is, how can you fathom the mysteries of God? How can you know God? How is it possible to have a relationship with this God? To have an intimate fellowship with the infinite God who created all the universe with the thought of his mind and the springing from his fingers. The mysteries of God are incalculable and beyond all reasoning and thought. In fact, he says in verse 10, if he cuts off and shuts up or gathers together, who can hinder him? What he's saying here is, whatever God's pleased to do, he does. You know, there's such a deception today, particularly in the word faith. It's really a wicked deception. And it almost sounds reasonable, but I'm telling you, it's wicked. It's that God is limited to what we say and do by our faith. That we institute, God basically in heaven is sitting there, and until we initiate, God is helpless. And there are certain ones, and I could tell you the names, and you would know, you've heard these names before, I won't bring them out tonight. These very, very well-known speakers in the charismatic movement of the last couple of decades have been clear to say that God is limited, we set the terms. And you know, it's funny, they use a scripture in Isaiah that says, concerning my commands, command ye me, says the Lord. Y'all heard that? That's an old King James. If you really look at it, that's not at all what it means in the original or any other translation. It is not saying to go to God, command ye me. But because of an old phraseology of the King James, there's been a Pentecostal deception that we can command God. I don't see Isaiah in chapter 6 commanding God, do you? When he saw the Lord, what did he do? I mean, he utterly freaked out. He saw himself. He said, woe is me. In fact, the testimony in John, in Revelations 1, the Song of Solomon's, the bride in Song of Solomon's 1, Job 42, the one I just spoke of, is upon Isaiah 6, confronting the living God, getting a glimpse of God. Job says, I abhor myself. John says, I fell as a dead man. The bride in Song of Solomon says, I'm black. In other words, when I saw the infinite light, or in 1 Timothy 6, it talks about the light, the inapproachable light, whom no man can approach unto or has seen. There is a light no man has seen but the Son of God. And God dwells in an infinite light. Thy Father of lights. And the Bible says in many places that to see that light is to die. Just to see the light of God is to die. No flesh can stand in his presence, 1 Corinthians 2 says. And so the audacity to imply that I or God is restrained upon. Now, I believe it is true that there are things I can declare, things that under the anointing I can proclaim and speak under faith, and they will occur and God will move. I'm not saying there's not legitimacy to that. That's the problem. They take something that's true and they build it and they eradicate the omniscience of God, the omnipotence of God, the sovereignty of God. And that's really what the word of faith philosophy does. It eliminates the sovereignty of God. I believe God is in heaven, and Psalm 103 says he is in heaven and he rules over all. There are places in Job that says, you know, whether you do righteousness or evil, what's it to him? You know, his kingdom is going to come. His will is going to be done, whether you and I do it or not. Can any man? His purposes will be performed in this universe, whether we cooperate or not. He'll skip over you, use somebody else. Whatever he's pleased to do at any time concerning anything for however long with whoever he would, he's free to do and no one can oppose him. There's a psalm that says they only consulted, I think it's Psalm 62, to cast him down from his excellency. Satan wants to cast God down from his excellency, to pull him down from the sovereignty of who he is, that he's infinitely in control of all things at every moment. And he has our welfare. Aren't you glad? Verse 11. For he knows vain men. He sees wickedness. Also, will he not then consider it? You know, there's a verse in the Proverbs that says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the good and the evil. God sees everything. He sees not only everything, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do, even the motives of our heart. Psalm 139, he says, you know, there's not a word in my mouth, but Lord, you know it all together. There's not a thought. You even know things before I even think them. God is sovereign. He knows at the inklings of every thought, He's totally aware and silent. He sees wickedness. There's nothing evil, wicked, sin. He's not totally and utterly aware. There's a passage in I wrote here, Daniel 2:22. I always remember that, Daniel 2:22. Let me read it. He says here, He reveals the deep and secret things. He knows what's in the darkness, and the light dwells with Him. You know, I went to Fry's today to get something, and as I'm walking around, there's already Christmas music in the store. And it's Perry Como singing. And so I'm sitting there going to get something at Fry's. And the song comes on. He knows what you... How's that go? He knows what you're thinking. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been good or not. It's a big good for you. And I'm sitting there. I'm listening to that thing. What a total mockery of God. It never dawned on me. That whole little charade of Santa is... It was talking about a spirit being who knows everything you're thinking. And you're going to be rewarded whether you were good or bad. Did you know that's a lot of people's theology? The Santa Claus theology. That most people believe they're going to go to heaven because, well, they've been naughty, but they've been nice more, right? And they deserve coals in their stocking, but they get candy canes because as they approach Christmas, they were starting to be good. Yeah, that's such a stupid theology, and yet most people, that is their whole theology of where they're going to spend eternity. I know, you ask people, do you consider yourself a good person? You could say, have you been naughty or nice? That's a good way to say it. Well, let me ask you, sir, have you been naughty or nice? You know, He knows what you are thinking. He sees when you, how's it go? What are the words of that thing? He sees you when you're asleep? For goodness sake. Y'all know that. I'm telling you, man, think about that for a minute, what you're saying. A spirit being that's sovereign, that's other than God. He preaches a false antichrist theology in the mind of kids. Verse 12. For vain man would be wise, though man is born like a wild ass's colt, is what King James says. Donkey's coat, colt. The Living Bible reads this. That's why I have many versions. The Living Bible says, a mere man is as likely to be wise as a wild donkey colt is to bear a man. And I looked at this in about four different versions, and what they said, it's saying, a man to come into wisdom is as unlikely as a donkey to birth a man. What he's saying is, from my observation, most men are spiritually dumb, stupid, and naive. And I would submit the vast majority of people you encounter every day are spiritually low IQ. Hello? Have no conception of the eternal God or the way to the eternal God. And like I said, their theology is a secular humanist Santa Claus based upon whether I'm good or bad. And you know why that is? Because they've never heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel that Paul preached is the means of salvation to whoever would believe. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord. Because the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel of the Apostle Paul smashes the lie of the current secular humanist understanding of the gospel. That there's none worthy. There's nothing you could ever do that was any good. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. And there's every work, everything you seem to do, there it's not of works, lest any man should boast. It's pure grace. And you've got to find some means to find an appeasement. You've got to find some means to find some kind of reattachment to this infinite, holy God other than your works, because you're going to fail miserably. And you know, you can't present the gospel of Jesus Christ and the gospel of the Apostle Paul until they come to terms with the fact that they've got to find something, but they got to recognize there's a breach. So in verse 13, now this is really fascinating. Verse 13 is the pinion verse of these passages. I believe he lays out in verse 13 the solution to the dilemma. The dilemma he lays out, who can know God, the infinite God, the all-inspiring and almighty God, who's beyond knowing, unsearchable and inscrutable, infinite, omnipotent, beyond height and depth and width and length, who can know God? And he says, man of his own strength and of his own ability, it's inconceivable. It's like some animal birthing a man. It's impossible. But then you know what? In verse 13 and 14, this is why this is a marvelous passage. He literally gives, he shifts gears, he's laid out four things that will enable you to know, have fellowship with, come to terms with, and be connected with the living God. In just those two verses, a close examination of 13 and 14 talks about four things. So let me go through it real quick. 13 and 14, if you prepare your heart, stretch out your hands toward him. If iniquity is in your hand, put it far away. Let not wickedness dwell in your tabernacles. You know, he just talked about your heart, your hand, repentance, and holiness. Talk about your heart, your hands, repentance and holiness. And you know what I love about this passage? It sums it up. It makes it concise right there. If you ever have any question, what should you do? Go to Job 11, 13, 14. Let's consider the first one. It says, devote and prepare your heart. First thing you got to understand, guys, listen. Christianity is totally different than anything else. It's a love affair with God. It's about loving God. It's a love relationship with God. All things work together to them that are good to them who what? Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for he shall receive the crown of righteousness which the Lord has promised, James 1:12, to them that love him. In fact, keep your finger there. I want to show you this. Look at 1 Corinthians 16:22. Keep your finger there. 1 Corinthians 16:22. I don't think I've ever mentioned this verse in 30 years, 25 years of teaching or whatever. It's the name of my first coffee house. 1 Corinthians 16:22. Paul says, if any man does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be an anathema maranatha. Anathema maranatha. Those are actually Aramaic words. You know what he's actually saying there? If you don't love the Lord Jesus Christ, I looked at this in version, let him be cursed. Man. And then the next word, maranatha. You know what maranatha means? The Lord is coming. Go back to Job. What he's saying, if you don't love the Lord, you're cursed. See, it's all about loving Jesus. You know how I know somebody's saved? Do they love the Lord? I'm telling you, that's it. I don't care what you know. I don't care what you do. Do you love the Lord? It's not what you know. It's not what you do. How spirit you are. Do you love the Lord? There are people that know the Lord, that grew up with the Lord, but they don't love the Lord. Or they kind of, they like him. Or they have a relationship with him when they have a need. But they don't love the Lord. They're not passionate about the Lord. He's not first and number one. And that's ironic. Jesus said all the commandment is summed up. Thou shalt what? Love with what? All of your heart. It's a love affair. God, love God. It's all about loving Jesus. Paul said in 2 Timothy 4. Is it 4? He says the Lord about the second coming until he will give me a crown. To all them that love his appearing. Let me get that reference. Yeah, 2 Timothy 4, verse 8. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me at that day. Not to me only, but to them that love his appearing. It's really a heart thing. You know, that's sometimes what I ask people. Not do you know the Lord, do you love the Lord? Try that. Don't ask if they know the Lord. Everybody knows the Lord. You know, the Bible says even the demons know the Lord. Amen? They know the Lord. That's where that demon rose up and sons of Sceva said, Jesus, I know. But do you love the Lord? Now, the next thing he says in Job 11, 13, stretch out your hands. And I wrote here, now you got to go from your heart to your hands. It's not enough to just love the Lord. It's got to manifest itself. If you just love the Lord, faith without works is what? I'll show you my faith by my works. The evidence of love is what you do. Whatever you do to the what? Least of these you do unto me. It's about doing. That's why I'm so passionate about us doing this stuff. You know why you turn religious and cold and weird? Is you just hear it and you never do it. You just get all focused and me, my, and mine, our, us four, no more, when you don't do it. But doing it, it breaks you out, and God loves it. Jesus loves to walk into liquor stores, you know? Like when you all were witnessing and Jesus walks in and you sense his presence. He's standing around. I'm convinced it's angels. They're standing around really eager. But we've got to get out of our comfort zone. Okay, what's the third thing? Verse 14. If iniquity is in your hand, put it far away. What's the third thing? Repentance. I wrote here, whatever it takes, however long it takes, you must repent. You know, that's what deliverance and accountability and community, that's what everything here is about. To love one another so that the sins and iniquities in your life will be exposed. I don't believe it's possible to repent apart from intimate brothers and sisters in your life. Hello. I don't think it's possible. Been in this thing too long. I'm going to tell you a little story how I'm evidencing this practically. Recently, I've gotten onto Facebook, Facebook.com. Tom DeLagana showed up here a few weeks ago, an old member from, gosh, long ago. He said, Chris, I'm on Facebook. I'd heard about that. I thought it was for kids. He said, it's kind of cool. It's a community, and a bunch of people from Church of the Redeemer back in the 70s are all, so let me invite you. So he invited me on the email, and I got in. And there's a little community. You actually build your own little community. I've thrown people out. I did. I have my own little community of friends, and one or two of them, I tossed them, man. I found the delete button. And they don't know that you tossed them. They don't get an email, you've been tossed from Chris Simpson. Well, one of them was a guy I knew years ago. We were good friends. He shows up on Facebook with his lover, his homosexual lover. Dude, I don't want to look at him. Sorry. You know, I don't need to deal with that. Another one who was a youth leader, and he was a really good guy. He came on after Obama won. He said, I won't say his name, blah, blah, is all for the, he lives in California. He actually does behind a commercial, there's a voiceovers. And he said, blah, blah, for pro-gay marriage. You know, some kind of group. So I deleted him. I'm sorry, I want my community at least to be people that love Jesus. Hello. Or people that need Jesus, but not Christians. Christians that are living and compromising. But do you know what it says about that? A Christian who claims to be a Christian and yet loving, what does it say? Don't even eat with them, right? I want to claim. So anyway, but I've got 50 or 60 friends, and I've been, putting up some old pictures we scanned from the 70s. I was a youth leader and singles leader, and people, our choir masters are. Well, what's amazing to me, what's shocking to me, is how far some of these people have drifted. I mean, I haven't interfaced with some of these people in 25, 30 years, and my gosh, and I remembered them back then, and I remember they were kind of getting into, and now they're way over here. In fact, those ones I deleted, they were kind of getting into, and now they're way. And you know what I got to thinking was the problem? You know what it was? They got out of community. They got out of an environment where someone could love them enough to get in their face, say, not no, but no way no. That's sin, brother. You know, James ends his epistle saying, brother, if any of you do sin, see his brother sin, go and reconcile. I know you've saved your brother from death. You know, if you and I don't do it, it ain't going to get done. And that sense of accountability and commitment, these saints that I knew back in the late 70s, and we were bonded body, an amazing community, phenomenal community, where people were speaking truth to one another. It was a marvelous place. But as they dissipated and it disintegrated and began to scatter, they got into all kinds of weird new age gaga stuff. And that's 20 or 30 years ago. How much is out there now? To love one another enough to confront sin. So iniquity is in your hand. Put it far away. You must repent. What's the fourth thing? Let not wickedness dwell in your tents. You know what that is? Speaks of the desperate need for deliverance. Do you see that? He's saying, it's your heart, your hand, but repent now. Don't let it dwell. Get it out. You know, it's one thing to repent. Now get out the causation, the root, the stronghold. Get it. Don't let it dwell in you. Deliverance. I wrote here, speaks clearly of the desperate need for deliverance. It's one thing to repent. It's another to purge. You know, if we confess our sins, he's faithful just to forgive us of all sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's deliverance. Let me tell you a little story. Interestingly enough, I was on the phone today. Sherry, I was able to find the phone number of that guy whose house burned down. Fella, an old friend from years ago, 35 years ago, left a message on my home phone. He'd called me a few months ago, but he left a message to say, I just want to see how you're doing. And I'm going to tell you, my wife's, he hasn't been living with his wife. He lives in an apartment. And they're not divorced, but she's hardened her heart against him and the Lord for many years, many, many years. And he's the first to admit he was the cause of a lot of that. But she's been hardened. I remember talking to him several years ago, and he was just really frustrated that there was not a reconciliation. We all came to the Lord together in the early 70s in Lafayette. We're all babes at the Maranatha house. She just really kind of writ him off and had a cursory relationship for many years, and he was praying for her and praying for her. Well, I haven't talked to her since 1980-81. Well, anyway, he called me, said, call me back. He didn't leave his cell. So I managed to remember some brother in Baton Rouge, and I found his, believe it or not, on my cell phone. Went way back and found a 504 code and called it. Sure enough, it was him, and he got me the cell number, and I called Rich, my friend, today. And he was in his wife. He was in his car with his wife at that moment. They'd gotten a settlement from the house burning down. And they were going to go, in fact, he got it. He's going to get him a new motorbike out of the deal because it got burned up. So he's talking to me. He says, yeah. And we were talking about your house burning down. He says, yeah, Chris, it's a heartbreaker. He says, it's really a heartbreaker for Mel. He says, frankly, he lives in this apartment. He said, I didn't lose much, and actually, I'm getting a brand new motorbike out of the deal. He said, but Melanie, he said, the house was insured for $100, and the interior was for $100. Turns out the house was worth $200. Sometimes you don't keep up with your fire insurance or your home. And it turns out they had all of these collectible things, and it was going to be a severe loss on her. And he said, it's really hard. All of her keepsakes from 35, 36 years. And he said to me, at the time he was talking to me, she wasn't in the car. So he was able to say, he says, Chris, I'm going to tell you something, though. Something's changed. Since the fire, she's crying out to Jesus. She's coming back to the Lord. Now listen. So then she gets in the car and he hands the phone to Mel. He says, here's somebody who wants to talk to you. So he gets out of the car to go to the motorcycle shop. And Mel says, who is this? And I said, it's a voice from your past. She said, who is this? I said, think back 37 years ago. And she says, oh, Chris Simpson? I said, yes, Mel. Lafayette, Louisiana, USL. Of course, I'd seen them subsequently. Last time I really saw it was in 80, 79, 80. And so she said, it's good to hear you. I recognize your voice. And we talked a little bit about the house burning down. And then she just began to share with me. This was amazing. She said, Rich and I went out there the day after it burned down. And we sifted through the ashes, walked all over it looking for something. It was just little remnants here and there. She said, we went back the next day. At the same location. And she said, I found a little cup. One of my mother's china cups. That was buried in the sifter, and it was perfectly fine. And she took it as a sign that she'd been through the fire and she's going to be okay. And she said, Rich, look. And Rich said, that's nothing. Come see this. She walked over there and there was a magazine opened up. Where there was a page with one word on it, and it had the word hope. Just sitting on the ashes. And it wasn't there the day before. And it was gone. And I was driving over here tonight, and I thought, listen, guys. Sometimes God has to burn down your house to get you to hear hope. Mel's a sweet girl. She loved Jesus, and the things of the world got a hold of her. 10-15 years ago, Rich has been telling me, and for the first time today, when she told me that thing about hope, I felt the Holy Ghost say an angel did that. And it struck Mel, and I got to thinking, God had to burn everything up for Mel to snap. How many of y'all know God's serious? I think I know God's serious. Been there, dude. God is serious that he wants us to walk in holiness. That's what he says. Put away and let it not dwell. If it dwells in us, it grieves him. Remember when he went into the temple? It says it grieved him that they made his father's house a house of merchandise of thieves. And he got angry. One time you see Jesus really lose is when he was cleansing the temple of the iniquity within. I tell you what, I've been in deliverance sessions. I have felt the fire of the Lord, the passion of the Lord, the wrath of the Lord to cast out the inhabitants thereof. Can you hear an amen? That's God wants holiness. My father's house, he said, is a house of prayer. And you've made it a den of thieves. He's serious. And when I heard that about Mel, I was driving over here. I said, that's probably for my sermon tonight. Bless her heart. I love Mel. I mean, she was just one of us. We all, and turns out, you know, one of the child lives here in Texas, so we may be able to reconnect at some point. And I'm just, it was really good because, you know, it's funny. Talking to me, we've never, ever talked before where the Lord wasn't in the middle of it, ever. And here she's talking to me, and I'm not going to put up with Mel being some backslid thing. We were all totally on fire for Jesus back then. You understand? It's all about reconnection and being open. Let's bring this to a close, verse 15. So, look at the reward. This is amazing. What are the four things? Loving with your heart, manifest with your hands, repent and walk in deliverance. Now, this is incredible. Verse 15. For then you will lift up your face without spot. You will be steadfast and you will not fear. Listen to the New Living Translation. Your face will brighten with innocence and you will be strong and free of fear. You know, here's the answer to fear. I believe the root cause is because either you're not repentant, you're not loving the Lord, you're not walking it out, or you're not getting deliverance. How many people out there inebriated on antidepressant drugs? Just ran into a situation this week. Verse 16. Because you shall forget your misery and remember it as waters that pass away. One version says, all of your memories will be that waters that passed. You know what that means? The power of the past is gone. The power of the past is gone. That's amazing. The past isn't holding. God wants to turn all your emotional punches golden. Where something happens and you remember and it hurts. Or somebody does something and it pushes the button and you react. God wants to turn all that golden. He wants to pull all that wiring out. But all that's left is peace. And you're healed. You know how you know you're healed? You know how you know you're delivered? When you can be crucified with Christ. And people down there are jeering at you and mocking you and berating you and demeaning you and castigating you and spitting on you and taking all that you possess at your feet and rummaging through it and gambling for it and stealing it. And your response is, forgive them. They don't have a clue. Can you amen? That's freedom. That's crucified with Christ. It's all golden. There's no punches. Verse 17. This is amazing. I like this verse. This is where I got the top title from. And your age will be clearer than the noonday, King James reads. The margin will rise above the noonday. You'll shine forth, you'll be as the morning. Listen to the New Living Translation. Your life will be brighter than the noonday. Even darkness will be bright as the morning. Is that cool? Do you know Matthew 6:22 says, if your eye is pure, your whole body is full of light. You know how the Living Bible reads that? If your eye is pure, there will be sunshine in your soul. How many of you want sunshine in your soul? Is your eye pure? Blessed are the pure in heart. For this you what? If the eye is single, it's full of light. But if it's not, he says it's dark, and how great is that darkness? See, God wants, there is a way to internalize sunshine. So what you give out is light. I really believe the key to healing is to sun beaming. Did you know in Habakkuk, there's a scripture that says light beams will come out of his fingers? Habakkuk 2, I think verse 2, says that out of his hand will shine beams of light. And it's interesting. I remember Todd shared this during the revival. It's a type of the anointing of healing. He says, for then evil diseases and skirmishes and infirmities will be under your feet. He's talking about an anointing of healing. It's when light is inside of you, then you will lay hands on the sick, they will recover. Because what's coming out of you is power. And where does it come from? You love the Lord, right? Your hands, you're about doing for the Lord. You're obedient to the Lord. You're being keeping short accounts in repentance, and you're seeking deliverance. Verse 18, two more verses. And you will be secure because there's hope. You will dig about you and you will take your rest in safety. There are four words there: security, hope, rest, and safety. I wrote here, there's no place like home. You know, when you're close to Jesus, wherever you are, you're home. You're never lonely, homesick when you're with Jesus. He is your home. Verse 19. Also, you shall lie down and none will make you afraid. Yea, many will make suit unto you, or the King James reads, will entreat your face. Other versions read, what it means is finally, you'll be at a point where your life is such, others will come to you because they recognize in you what they need to be free. That's what it says. And isn't that the end all of it all? The purpose is to get free so that you literally are living in safety and peace, so that your life, you're no longer just a well springing up, but you're a river flowing out. And you become a source where other people will come to you and they're recognizing you. You have the words of eternal life that can help me. Now that's ministry. Some of you are out there trying to do ministry. I would submit you can't do ministry until you are a ministry. And you ain't going to be a ministry until you love the Lord. And you live it out. And you're determined to repent and you get deliverance. So that there's sunshine in your soul. You know, another word of seeing sunshine is always you're real. You're real. I remember there's a guy I worked with at the remodeling crew, the maintenance crew at Redeemer back in 75. And he used to say he had a lot of bondages. He used to say, my smile is starting on the inside. He'd say that all the time. He would smile, and he was so glad because he'd just come to the community, come to Christ, gotten some freedom, and he'd say, my smile starts in the inside. And I didn't know what he meant for a while until I realized my smile was not coming from the inside. Mine was, praise God. Because my insides were not smiling. I was mad. I was full of fear. I had a lot of hurt. I put up masks. None of y'all know what I'm talking about. And there was not a connectivity. So God, in His mercy, allowed me to go through the fire and the water. So that now my smile is connected on the inside. Out of my belly will flow rivers of life. Amen? So who wants to have a soul flooded with sunshine tonight? Let's pray. Jesus. Jesus. No, not just on your shoulder. Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for those scriptures tonight. Lord, I thank you that you're serious. You that begun a work will complete it. God is not mocked. Whatever man sows, he shall reap. Lord, we ask you first to forgive us for trivialities and frivolities and taking things for granted and assuming and presuming and walking around clueless and humanistic and secular and racked with fears and worries and doubts and concerns and issues and not just finding rest and peace and security in the presence of the Lord. Say this after me, Jesus, give me love for you. Become the lover of my soul, all that I want. All that I need, all that I desire is Jesus. Oh Lord, help me to walk that out. To have the courage to be obedient to the nuances of the Spirit. the nudgings of the Spirit, to obey you, to put legs in my faith, to walk through my fears and reach out to hurting people. Lord, give me a love for holiness and purity, that I would quickly renounce anything unclean. Say this after me. Jesus, cleanse my eyes from impurities. Teach me to quickly repent. Jesus, bring deliverance to my life. Forgive me for being reticent to submit myself to the hands of brothers and sisters, spiritual surgeons who can go and undo the works of the devil within. Jesus, fill my soul with sunshine, that I would be a witness. I would be a light. If you're serious about it, just praise Him right now. Come on. If you really mean that, praise Him tonight. Praise Him tonight. God knows if you just said those words that you're real serious. If that's a desire of your heart, He loves you. He actually wants it for you more than you want it for you. Oh, Labaka, don't be foolish. Brought to the point like Mel where everything has to be burned down. Lose everything. And then she finds a message of hope. Oh, Jesus, Lord, help us to be wise. Achikanda laborotora masita laman. Hula machikata lamorontana masat. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit, we bring conviction tonight. We want our life to be pure and holy. We love you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, we love you. Lord, we love you. Spirit, come with His Spirit, search us, O Lord, search our inner parts, O Lord, put Your finger on the darkness, Lord, oh Lord, search us, O Lord, try us, O Lord, see if there be any wicked way in us, O Lord, oh, bring conviction, O Lord, Lord, shake us, rattle us. Do whatever you got to do to wake us from spiritual slumber, spiritual foolishness, Lord. Or we're missing the living God. Oh, Lord, this world filled with devils. Oh, Jesus, but You are Lord. And You are the source that Your light would shine bright, oh, Lord. And our eyes would be fixed on things above, not on things in the earth. For we are dead and our life is hid with Christ in God. Set your mind on things above. For we are risen with Christ. We're risen with Him. Seated with Him in the heavenly places. Ambassadors for Him to dispatch the kingdom here now. To do unto others as He would have us to. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. Oh, Lord, You would use our lives as church, Lord. Use us. Out of our belly, out of our spirits would shine light, Lord. I pray for Shekinah light. Glory, O Lord. Sunshine. The rising of the sun. The morning. The eternal morning. Holy Anye, open our eyes to see, Lord. Oh, Elian Lederimu, Lord. We would love you, Lord. Love the Lord. Yesidi Alanamun. Come light from heaven. Come, heavenly light. Illuminate. Shine your light. Shine your light, Jesus. Let light fill this room. Every dark spirit will be banished. Every unclean spirit will be banished. We break, we smash the dark places. We break the dark strongholds. We break them in Jesus' name. Satan, we crush you under our feet tonight. More of your light. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. Lalo. Lani alana mo, lani alani yele. Lani na mo, lema, lema, lemo. His city already go. Eli ala sito, eli aso pele, lamo lenyolo. His son, let it bring your anointing. I pray for your healing, O Lord. I pray for healing to flow through the room, the balm of healing. I pray for an ointment of healing. I pray for ointment of healing tonight. If you have a need for healing, you just tell Jesus. Tell him where it hurts right now. Tell him where it hurts. I see in the spirit ointment. I see spirit in the spirit ointment flow. The Lord wants to pour that ointment on your hurt. Tell him right now where it hurts. Come on, come, Holy Lord, send the angels of the Lord. Apply the ointment, Lord, the balm of Gilead. Apply the balm now to the wounds, Lord, the spiritual wounds, Lord, the hurts, the deceptions. Come, Lord, tell him where it hurts. Cry out to Jesus tonight. Oh, Lord, I let flow, flow. I can see it. I can see it like an antiseptic. Holy Andalam, I can see it in the spirit. It's like a spiritual antiseptic in the room. Lady Allah, let it go. I call it down tonight. I call it down. I call down in Jesus' name. Spiritual antiseptic. Spiritual healing. Spiritual medicine in Jesus' name. Spiritual antibiotics. Spiritual antibiotics in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go on the joints. Go on the joints in Jesus' name. In the inner recesses in the name of Jesus. In the hidden places in the name of the Lord. Oh, go in every place. Every place that's crooked, make it straight. Every place that's bent, oh Lord, rectify it tonight in Jesus' name. I speak to everything that's a faulty, Lord, that it would be straightened out in the name of the Lord. Have Holy Spirit. Come, Lord, send ointment, Lord, ointment of the Holy Spirit. Come on, you just got to open up and receive it. The anointing is here. Just say, yeah, Jesus, just agree, man. I want that. Cry out to the Lord. Say, I want it, Lord. Pour it on you. Believe. God is here. The Spirit is moving. I actually can smell. When I was a kid, my mother used to have Vicks vapor rub. Remember that? I'm actually smelling that in the spirit right now. It's like, but what I'm sensing, it's like he's trying to just pour some ointment down in the depths of you, particularly in joints. I'm sensing in joints and with stiffness in the joints all over your body in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, to loosen those stiffness in the name of the Lord, to build the marrow and the cushioning in the name of Jesus. Come on. Come on, Lord. I pray for creative miracles, Lord, where the joints are stiff, Lord, right now to just go and rebuild, Lord. Rebuild in the name of Jesus. In the back where there's discs that have been frayed. What is it? Damaged, herniated. I pray, Lord, you come right now and bring new cushions, Father. Pour that ointment right now. I can see it in the spirit. If that's you, put your hand on your back right now. Say, Lord, come. Heal or your neck, wherever it is. Say, Lord, come. Create a miracle. Create a miracle, Lord. Put new oil there. New cushioning, Lord. New padding. Build it, oh, Lord. Build it. Build it in the name of Jesus. 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 He's pouring it down. I sense an ointment by Shain Dakai Damoson. Oh, India. Oh, but see every good India, Shain, and my kid, only under the sea, under every good gift of machine, every good gift flows. I in my be under the city, boy, and it's a shindy kai damosuti under the sea, alamon, yes, yeah. I sense things that are just twisted to be rectified and straightened now in Jesus' name. Straighten up in Jesus' name. Backs that are crooked. Spines that are bent over, straighten in Jesus' name. I straighten them. Lord, lay a plumb line right now in Jesus' name. Just line them up and straighten them up in Jesus' name. Rectify. Use that ointment, Lord, just to seal and reseal and recreate in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. More, Lord. Right down into the chest. I can still smell it. It's in the spirit I smell, which is the weirdest thing. I don't smell it in the natural. I smell it in the spirit. But the Vicks vapor rub right now into the chest in Jesus' name. Anyone that's fighting this affliction or cold or flu, getting down into the chest. I know my wife, she left it. So exactly what's going on with her. I pray, Lord, come in your mercy right now and touch her, Lord. I speak to that thing rested, buried down in the chest in Jesus' name. I drive it. Lord, just let that ointment flow and heal, nurture, restore, dry up, Lord. More, Lord. More of your healing. 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 More of your healing, Jesus. Come on, just receive. Let the Spirit move. The anointing doesn't come like this very often. I wish it would. Come more often like this. More of your healing. I think it's because you opened your heart. Some of you opened your heart in a new way tonight. To love the Lord. Oh, He wants you to love Him so He can show His love to you. More of your healing. More of your healing. I keep seeing that in the spirit. Joints and marrow. Stiffness. Places where you're just debilitated. God wants to renew you. Renew your youth like the eagle. To raise you up so you can soar. He wants you to take your eyes and heart away from your debility and to look to Him and to worship Him and to thank Him and to glorify Him and say, Lord, whatever, though you slay me, I will trust you. It doesn't matter. I worship you. You're the King and the Lord. This world passes away. The only thing that's real is you, Jesus. And you're coming again. And when you come again, Lord, whether I rise up from the grave or I'm alive and meet you in the air, oh, Jesus, Jesus, that the last thought, the last thing in my life was devotion to Jesus. Jesus. He's roasting. I hear the word roast. Okay, roast. This turn of fire in our mind now. The Lord wants to roast away out of your mind all of the torment and the fear and the torture and the fear and the panic and the despairing, the despair. I break it, the panic and despair. I break its power tonight in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come and roast it out, Lord. Let the fire of the Lord, fire of the Lord on the minds now. On the minds. Particularly fear. Fear of things to come. Fear concerning your physical situation. Fear concerning your emotional situation. Fear concerning yourself. Roast it, Lord, with the fire of the Lord tonight. Jesus. Jesus. Aina kaina masandiri kai lo mayanayan lo manayan yeti sanyara kai shondiki ramo lo meni mulan Jesus sani mayande kai lo medi lo come down, O Father of lights. Come down. Complete the work. Complete what you're doing in everyone tonight. Complete the work. Everything you want to accomplish tonight. Complete the work by the Spirit of God's presence. More of your presence, O Lord. Jesus. I pray we'd flow out of here. I know different ones in the body are suffering and have many maladies that are not here. In your mercy, you'd send angels with this and dispatch this anointing to various ones that are hurting. And part of this work, Lord, heal, restore, deliver, set free Felicia, Jeff, and my wife, and different ones, Christina, different ones, Lord, have mercy, Father. My wife's mother, Lord, heal her in Jesus' name. Take a deep breath, everybody. Who sensed the Lord? Anybody sensed the Lord touching tonight? Felt a phenomenon? Did you feel a phenomenon in your body? Praise God. Here's the thing you need to remember. When the Lord comes and He ministers to you in the Spirit, and you can sense the supernatural phenomena. Man, I've certainly learned this one myself the hard way. Don't doubt in the dark what you heard in the light. You know what I mean? Don't doubt in the dark what you heard in the light. And there's a lot of light in the room, and your faith is up. You see, the enemy comes to steal. And so what you have to do is hang on to that rhema. And sometimes that phenomena is a rhema. When you sense something, a move, and you clicked, you said, man, that's God. You stand on that. You believe that. You use that. Fight a good warfare. So when doubt and fear comes, don't doubt in the dark. Man, I've had to battle. I can't tell you the battle I've had ever since last summer. I read those rhema words every day, including this morning. Every single rhema dream, prophetic word given to me about my healing, every day I read them. Religiously, committed. And then through the day, when I get attacked, I've read it that morning. I remember like one Jenny gave me one. She didn't even know one of the ones God gave me. One day I was sitting in July when one of the more difficult moments of my trial. And I looked out the window and I just cried out. And I was singing at my desk at home and said, oh, Lord, pour down rivers from heaven. And Jenny came up to me and said, I have a verse for you. And I wrote this down. It was Isaiah says, I will open up rivers from the heavens. I don't know if you remember that. Oh, yeah, you did. I have it down. I wrote it down 5 minutes after you did. I wrote it down in my PDA and I've read it ever since. And it's that kind of a thing. You had no idea. It was a supernatural confirmation that God was going to pour rivers from the heavens on my life. You know, and a fresh anointing. After the vision that I had of Jesus that night when he appeared to me, the next morning I woke up and saw these streams of water springing out of my spirit. And those are rhemas, man. I have to throw those in the face of the devil. You know, when I get something in my body that feels like it's contrary, I say no in Jesus' name. God is without a doubt spoken to me in this earth. So amen, do battle. Amen. I don't know what the Lord's done in you, but you get a hold of it and you do battle in the spirit and retain and cry out for more. Well, Lord, we just pray for angels to protect us now as we go in our cars. Just keep us safe. Lord, continue to open divine encounters. I pray as these folks come together in this group Lindy's coordinating, Lord, that you will show up with when they pray. You show up with words of knowledge, and like treasure hunts, and quicken it, specific people we can reach out to. And I pray you bring us back Sunday, Lord, as a body just rejoicing in you and have a good time celebrating Thanksgiving, everybody said. God bless you. Go in peace in Jesus' name. Amen.
For more audio teachings like these, please visit newwineonline.com.